God is already here. Can't you feel His presence? He's already here. All you've got to do is what? Open up your heart. For God is already here. Hallelujah. Now, I have a very important message to share with you from the Bible today. And I want to do it now. For the last couple of weeks, I was encouraging saints to stay in the ark and to invite sinners to come into the ark. Jesus was taking record of the time. At one time, He said, "You have 120 years. And then later on, He said, "You only have 7 days. I hope you picked up those things as I read them. He did not say that man's lifespan in general would be 120 years. But He said that 120 years is allotted for people to make up their minds. And remember that people lived very long in those days. Methuselah lived to be 969 years. And the same thing was written on his, shall I say, tombstone. He died. I'm not here to talk about death today, something that some people are afraid of. But the Apostle Paul said, "You see me, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But that's not where I'm going to focus. I want to focus on the fear of God. On the what? Fear. The fear of God. More and more it is evident that a lot of people do not fear God. Not in our country and countries around the world. So let's go to the first text. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This chapter takes us from, may I say, from the cradle unto the grave. From entrance to exit. You entered here a while ago, and just now you would exit. You would leave here, talking about the building. Jesus said, "It is important for me to go, so that I can come again." And that is life. I think I want to read all of the verses, but especially a verse, but if I say it, you would leave the opening verses and go down there. I know some of you are. So we will take it from verse 1, only 14 verses. And by now you know that it's not about me. Neither is it about you. It's about the Lord and your relationship with Him. About me and my relationship with Him. So it says in verse 1, remember now. It's not something to put off, but it's something to do now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now you're going to lift up your voice as loud as you can and read the next verse. And we're going to do this until we come to the end. But you've got to read up loud and clear. Go ahead, verse 2. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs.
The preacher sought to find out the aspect of the words, and that which was written was of the right, even the words of truth.
The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. To share the last verses with me, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What a chapter that shows us the different stages of man's life, the different things that we would experience until we come to the end. But it is beautifully stated here, our purpose on earth. The conclusion of the whole matter. What is it? To fear God and to keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Is that plain enough? Is that plain enough? So let's see if we can deal with the fear of God. If we do not teach it, there are those who not understand that God should be feared. Not afraid, but we should have reverential fear for God. To fear God. I am not serving God because I'm afraid of him, but I fear him. Fear God. fear God. As you sit in God's house today, you must have that reverential fear. There was a time when we came to the house of God and we really came to worship Him. Sometimes in church these days, a lot of things happen that the question would be asked, do they not fear God? Where is the fear for God? So we have to keep examining ourselves, the way we live, because God is going to bring into judgment every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. I hope you're grateful for godly preachers. And I cannot tell you who they are. You have to know who they are. Not everybody who preaches is godly. Not everyone who say that I am a Christian is a Christian. You could say amen there. The preacher has a life to live. A life to live to the glory and praise of God. A life that preacher Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. Peter would say that the elders which are among you have a responsibility to feed the flock over which God has made them overseer. In the book of Hebrews, it is written, chapter 13, that you must obey those who have the rule over you and submit yourselves because they watch for your soul and they must give account. And the writer says you don't want them to give account with sorrow, but you want them to give account with joy. So this preacher, and these are the days of higher learning, and I would say, as I always said, go for it. Go for it. But the conclusion of the whole matter is not how many books you have written, how many books you have studied. The conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God. Be as bright as you possibly can. You have heard yesterday, like I have heard, the many who will get scholarship and other gifts. Go for what you can get, but never forget God. Go for what you can get, but never forget God. If this nation becomes, as they would say, educated on one side, then you become off balance. So you need to know all that you can as you live in this world about the function of the world, but you need to know about God who has made the world. Amen. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And wise preachers must always point this out. The earth does not belong to a human being. The earth belongs to the Lord. The Bible says He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The Bible tells us so. And so with all the education we may get from the different universities and wherever we get them, there's no education that can outdo the Word of God. That also may look down upon you. But Paul would say, let no man look down upon you, and that's another translation, because you are small. But let everyone look up to you because you are an example. You are what? An example. Another time, you are an example of that which is good and not that which is evil. That which is good. The fear for God is drifting away from a lot of people. Let us, school teacher and school teachers of the past and those who are teaching now, let us, students and teachers, voters and politicians, doctors and patients, church members and pastors, and the list goes on. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We're not left in doubt. Is to fear God. Be God-fearing people. Fear God and keep His commandments. Whatever He says we ought to do, we must do it. This is the whole duty of man. No man who is God-fearing will get away with his ill. Who is not God-fearing, no man who is not God-fearing will get away with the evil that he does or she does. No one. The day of reckoning will soon come. It's called the day of judgment. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Secret to you and secret to me. Secret to others. But it's not a secret to God. Hello? It's not a secret to God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding the good and the evil. Whenever Cain killed his brother, and God asked him, "Where's your brother?" and he was rude in his response, God said to him, "I know what you have done. Your brother's blood is crying out to me. All the murders that have been committed, that our local constabulary, CID people cannot find, neither FBI from abroad, God knows who has done what they have done. God knows." We must pray for our men here as they seek to solve problems, to get the solution as crime and violence is being committed. And what is still hidden from them has been known by God ever since. But you know, if we fear God, we will not be committing all these murders. Willful murders. Murders that are planned in secret and that are carried out in public. If we only fear God, we will protect our brothers and sisters instead of killing them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But you see, some of us are muscular and others are tiny, and we have this saying, we don't fear anybody. We're not afraid, that is, of anybody. So we do what we want when we want. And some people are so foolish, they're hired to do what others are afraid to do. Let no man hire you to shed innocent blood. A man is not a cow that you're killing to get beef. For those of you who like pork, a man is not a pig that you're killing to get pork. Man was made in the image and likeness of God. Say amen.
Amen.
That's your brother. That's your sister. Transgression might have been committed, but transgression can be confessed and forgiven. our fear for God. Where is our fear for God? Have we been always in this condition? No. We had Sunday schools in years gone by in every village. We were not financially able as we are now. We didn't have, some had it, the kind of education that is now had. But you would have found a caring person who would gather the children, boys and girls, and would have conducted a Sunday school class. And they would have taught them what they knew. They taught many principles from the Bible and otherwise. One of them, manners and behavior. Manners. Not too sure how much that is being taught, whether in the home, in the school, or even in the church, but manners. When you find ill-mannered people, then you find dangerous people. You can say amen. Doesn't matter how much you have in your head, if in your heart there is not that kindness, there's not that love, there's not that peace, there's not that joy, you're a dangerous person. Yes, we were taught. And that teaching was meant to be passed on. You remember when children went to school some time ago, all the teacher had to do whenever school call was to take a pencil for the boys and just push it in the hair in the head, and they would know whether they comb the hair or not. Do you remember when the girls wore the skirt at a certain length, and when they bent over, their knees were still covered? Do you remember when both boys and girls, for inspection they call it, and it wasn't like the military inspection yesterday, but inspection before, teacher, you remember that? I hope you do. Boys and girls had to stretch out their hands, and their fingernails had to be groomed. And by the way, they didn't have to go anywhere to groom their fingernails. I'm not too sure what is happening today, but you ladies have to go and sit down for hours before somebody to do what they call it, pedicure and manicure. You're soaking your feet for so long for your toenails to become soft. Dear God, have mercy. I know it was a long time ago, but that was the time when you saved some of the money that you could have used elsewhere. Today, there are things you could do for yourself. And instead of doing them, you sit down before somebody. I'm not talking about things that you cannot do. What you cannot do, let somebody do it. But things that you can do, go and do it. Inspection. Those fingernails were not looking like the claws of. If I'm offending you, I can't apologize. I'm only telling you, 39 years of national or political independence. But even before that, I am talking about. Maybe that has changed some things. With the changing of how we view God, we are heading for what is known as total depravity. Write it down. Total depravity. Those were the days also. They were not even called born again Christians. But they sang a hymn in the schools. They taught the scripture as a rule. The fear of God was taught. What was taught? The fear of God. And there, if there was any, just a few murders. No fear for God. Then we haven't seen what this country and other countries that are not God-fearing will come to as yet. This is only the beginning. What is hindering the onslaught upon this world, in our country, is the conviction that God is to be honored, but God is to be feared. You know, when you say don't fear the police men, when you say you're not afraid of anybody, and even though you're afraid of, you still do things. Because some people know they can hire a lawyer and get away. On what I hear sometimes on technicality. Whatever that means. We have lawyers in this church. But we're not doing a case now. But we can never get away from God. I admonish you, those of you who are here, and those who are elsewhere, fear God and keep His commandments. Not only 10 He has given to Moses, He named 10 of them. And one of the 10, thou shalt do no murder. I'm going to go a little further. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. And in Luke, chapter 23, I need to point out a very important thing. Whenever I'm turning the pages, you find another picture. Luke 23. And I'm going to take it from verse 39. Maybe I'll back up a little bit. Take it from verse 33. But 39 is where the meat of the matter is going to be dealt with. Look at the scene. He came from heaven. He was sinless. He challenged them. Any one of you who can bear true witness that I have sinned, do it now. But there was never a true witness. By the way, especially for Christians, thou shalt not bear false witness. You don't know. You know that something is not true. Don't say it is true. Let me repeat that. Especially as Christians, you know that something is not true. Do not bear witness and say it is true. We're too close to eternity for us to live a lie. to be tale bearers and false accusers, to be incontinent and to be fierce, to be despisers of those that are good, to be heady and high-minded. It's too late to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's too late for us to have a form of godliness and to deny the power of God. It's too late. It's the time for us to fear God more than we ever feared Him. In verse 33, it is written, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him," referring to Jesus. "They crucified Him and the malefactors," some people say malefactors, "one on the right hand and the other on the left." It's getting more interesting. Who was being crucified? Was it earth's worst or earth's best? You and I are not too good for people to crucify us in one way or the other. There's something that is called character assassination. Paul said, "We die daily. We die daily." He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I." I have good news. "But Christ liveth in me." Say it with me. "Christ liveth in me." Say it again. "Christ liveth in me." You see this little man here who's been down here for some years? I'm not alone. Christ liveth in me. "And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Galatians 2:20. So, they crucified Him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. I might point out another word for malefactors would be criminals. Criminals. There were two criminals that were on that day hanging on crosses. But none for the sins of the people. Was only one who was being crucified for the sins of the people. Pastor Jeff, one of them took time to admit that. And you would see where I'm coming from the scripture. Hardly do criminals say that they're guilty of the crime. Is that true? Boy, they would lie their way out as much as they can. Somebody said, when you can hide from a thief, you can't hide from a lie, whatever that means. But let me see if I could stick here. Some people, they're just clever. They know how to tell lies. They would tell lies with their eyes dry. They would tell lies with their eyes wet. But these two criminals, one on the left and on the right, listen carefully. Verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I am realizing that I have to come to the place of forgiving those who are doing what they do not know what they are doing. For Jesus said, "If I do not forgive them, my Father will not forgive me." How many of you need forgiveness? Jesus said, "You will only get it as you give it." Me? Forgive he? Forgive she? Not the best grammar. I could correct. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots, or they gambled for his raiment. The people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. You think that is easy to be derided? But they did it to Jesus. And if they did it to Jesus, what do you think they will do to you and to me and to us? So, Pastor, why are you bringing this? It's not Easter. It's important. That's what the Lord gave to me. The fear of the Lord. We have already covered one portion with how important it is to have the fear of God. And so precept upon precept, line upon line. Others said he saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. You remember John 3:16? Say it with me, please. Never stop saying it, regardless of who say. It's been said too often. Say it with me. For God so loved the world, out loud, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Another time. For God so loved the world, but he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son, his only begotten Son, sinless Son, to save sinners. And these sinners derided him. 36 says the soldiers also mocked him. When one person says something, you might not mind, but when everybody starts to say, and they use slangs like, when is it whale come out of sea and tell you what have teeth? Can't remember the saying, good, then you've got to believe it. You see, when more than one person say it is true. But that ain't true. Not always true. They derided him. They mocked him. And the Bible says, they offered him vinegar. 37, they said, if thou be king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Look at the sign. This is the King of the Jews. Let me tell you, he's King of Kings. And he's Lord of Lords. Whether you want to name him or not, he is still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. And that is forever and ever. Every politician has a lifespan. A time allotted. But Jesus, his kingdom. His kingdom. Have no end. Hail Jesus. You're my King. Hallelujah. You're King of Kings. Oh, I'm getting something here. And you're Lord of Lords. Reign, King Jesus, reign. Reign over all the nations of the earth. And the nations that allow him to reign, they're a happy nation. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. When you reject the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's hell on earth. It's hell on earth if you reject the King of Kings and put an imposter in his place. It's hell on earth. King of the Jews. But he's not only King of the Jews. The criminals chimed in. At least one of them started to talk. Verse 39. One of the criminals or malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. All this was being instigated, organized by Satan, who after Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day when John was baptized. And the Bible says the Spirit of God came as a dove and sat upon him, and he was led in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But thank God, after the temptation, he came back full of the Holy Ghost. And he declared to one and all, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. You can go through hell and high waters, can be precious galore. But if the Spirit of God is upon you, you're able to say, Zerubbabel, and to others, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. Thank God for the Spirit. He protects us in danger. Yes, he enables us. So we have this criminal using the words of the one who challenged Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God. It's in Deuteronomy 8. It is in Luke 4 and Matthew 4. What? Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread. If you are, Pastor, you realize what he didn't say? You are the Son of God. He said, if, so in doubt. If you are. Hello, you should know if you're a follower of Christ or you're an imposter. You ought to know whether you're a follower of Christ. Those who might say you're not, let them say what they want. But you should know who you are. If you allow every voice to dictate to you where you're going, you're in serious trouble. You should know who you are. You should know that you are a new creation. Hallelujah. You should know that you are a brand new man, a brand new woman. Oh, the things you used to do, you do them no more. And a change has taken place. And it's a great change since you're born again. The rum shops miss you. For those who used to frequent those shops, the idle talkers don't have you as company anymore. Your mission is to go to them and talk about Jesus Christ. Like the woman who said, come see a man who told me all things that I have done. This is not the time to get in idle and slack conversation. If you're going to gossip, gossip Christ. Gossip the gospel. They said what they had to say, but that didn't hinder him. But hey, maybe I'll have to stop in this one. I have more portions, but perhaps I'll have to stay with this one. After one of them railed on him, stating, if thou art the Christ, save thyself and us. The other, it's amazing that both of them had an opportunity to say and to do the right thing and to hear the same thing. It's I don't know. People come to church to hear the same message, but some leave not being touched. He can't move me. She didn't touch me. It's as though some of us becoming so accustomed to the gospel, all we have is tradition. Our hearts are becoming so hard. No fear for God. All I want to do is to go to church. God, please have mercy upon us. And you ought to be in church. There's some backsliders who should have been here today. Apart from those who traveled and those who are not well. Everyone who used to come here, who had a touch from God, should have been here or elsewhere sharing the gospel. God's been good. So let's listen to the other criminal. Criminals talking to criminals about Christ. That's a way to title a message. The criminals and Christ. Write that down for me, please. I'll hear what the Lord would further say. But two criminals talking. One of them railed on him. Said terrible things. But the other, verse 40, answering, and he rebuked him. A criminal rebuking a criminal? You see, while he was there close to Jesus on the cross, something was happening to him. When you come to God's house, something should happen to you to bring you closer to God. You have to feel some vibes, the vibes of the Holy Spirit. That is why I ask you from time to time, change your seat if Satan is using other vibes. And I'm telling you, to disturb you. So the other said to him, dost thou not fear God? What did he say to him? Dost not thou fear God? Hold on. So I'm telling him, talking about the fear of God. Here is a criminal asking another criminal, don't you have any fear for God? When you start to say certain things about your brother, about your sister, don't you have any fear for God? Your brother belongs to God. Your sister belongs to God. Don't you have any fear for God? I would even say your pastor. But your pastor, and those of you who have pastors elsewhere, if your pastor is a gift from God, you ought to say, thank you, God, for the gift you have given unto me. God's son, criminals talking. Man, you're in the same condemnation. We, you and I. Hello, you and I, brother, buddy, you and I. That's verse 41. We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. But you see, this man, he has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. He should not be here. If anybody deserves to be here, you and I deserve to be here. Not this man. Not this man. If you had any fear for God, you would not have said what you just said. But you know, sinners can be forgiven. Sinners who confess their sins. This criminal, the one who said, don't you fear God? Something was happening in his life right there. Didn't have anybody to preach to him. But I think he remembered how John the Baptist preached. I think he remembered how Jesus himself preached and the preachers of his time. It's funny that some people have to reach the wit's end to ask God for mercy. And it's good that God is merciful. Amen. If it's me, they didn't worry with me all the time. I ain't going to worry with them now. You're not hearing me? But not God. So, here's what the one who did not abuse his Savior said. Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He realized that Jesus was Savior. But indeed he was king and he has a kingdom. And he cried out from the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How did the Lord respond to him? And I'll have to conclude. Jesus said, verily I say unto you. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I cannot understand this love. Such love. Such wondrous love. Such marvelous love. But God should love a sinner like me and like you. Another person say, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my soul. He made them his very own. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you say, God, your life will be better. I don't know, but Judas lost his faith for Jesus. When he was bargaining, covenanting with the enemies of Christ, I wonder, where did his faith go to? You know that your Savior wasn't like the others. Are you in secret making a bargain to get rid of him? What was your fear, Judas? Where was your fear? When we talk about him, we could talk about ourselves. When we were planning different things that do not line up with God, where did our fear go to? Our fear for God. Whenever Gehazi for money, just like Judas, for money, went out and lied to Naaman about his master, where was his fear for God? Where? In the book of Kings, 1 Kings 18, story is told of a famine that was in the land. Elijah, the servant of God, spoke out for God. And for 3 years and 6 months, there was no rain. And God said, Elijah, I'm going to send rain. Obadiah and the king searched everywhere looking for Elijah. But the thing about Obadiah, he was God-fearing. I can't develop that story. Whenever Elijah showed himself to Obadiah and said, go and tell the king Ahab, I am here. He said, me? You are putting me in big trouble. For you know that I fear God. I fear him so much that when the king was ordering destruction for those who love God, I hid 50 of them. And I fed them. I did that because I fear God. Don't have enough time to develop that. Those last points. I fear God. Let's stand. Please, let's stand. The nation is losing its fear for God. And if the Christians in the nation join those who are losing their fear for God, What a place this will be. In this land where those who fear the Lord and would live for the Lord, you've got to keep making a statement in word and in deed. So Heavenly Father, forgive us for when we did not show reverential fear, when we messed up in several ways. But we come to you today, hearing you say to us from your word that the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear you and to keep your commandments. Deliver us from being religious and give us relationship with you. Thank you.
The sweeter he grows, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, the more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the longer I serve him, the longer I serve him, the sweeter.